8:46 in the morning. Welcome back to the Morning Mix. I'm Anthony Fest with Steve Zeltzer. Now we're going to take a few minutes to talk about high-speed rail. Should California build a high-speed rail system like those of Japan and Western Europe? The state's voters said yes in 2008 when they passed an initiative and a bond measure providing for $10 billion to begin a high-speed rail system connecting Southern California to the Bay Area and Sacramento. In the 3.5 years since then, however, the estimated cost of the system has tripled from about $32 billion to nearly $100 billion. Recently, the High-Speed Rail Authority made some personnel changes, and the new administration is promising cost savings when it releases a revised business plan soon. Should the state still go ahead with high-speed rail? If you could travel from the Bay Area to Southern California in under 3 hours, would that be a good alternative to driving or flying? To discuss the future of high-speed rail, we're joined at the KPFA studio by David Schoenbrunn. He's president of the Transportation Solutions Defense and Education Fund, TransDEF. Welcome, David.
It's nice to be here. Thank you.
And also, you go way back with Pacifica. You were a broadcast engineer at our New York sister station, WBAI.
Back in the 60s.
Okay. Now you're in the transportation field. Tell our listeners, in a nutshell, what does TransDEF do?
We attempt to speak on behalf of the public interest in getting good projects approved and fighting bad projects that would be very wasteful of the public's money.
And those projects range from the multi-billion to the relatively small issues of grade crossings and things, which you sometimes go and litigate at the Public Utilities Commission.
That is correct, but mostly we go after the multi-billion. And in this case, we've always been very supportive of the concept of high-speed rail, but we've been very unhappy and dissatisfied with how the High-Speed Rail Authority has been managed. We're convinced that they have over-engineered and incredibly wastefully and politically driven botched this thing very badly, such that it's almost impossible for them to correct where the project is heading.
So in a nutshell, what do you see as the biggest problems with the plan that the authority has on the table at the moment?
Well, the probably the most important problem is the project that the authority is putting forward, this 130-mile track to nowhere in the Central Valley, doesn't qualify for funds under Proposition 1A, the bond measure that the state's voters passed. The track that's proposed would not be high-speed rail ready, and therefore, it's not even eligible to receive bond funds. So the whole concept is a non-starter.
Well, now let's back up for a moment. Under the best scenario, when could the system actually start running? When could we hope to board a train in San Francisco and go to L.A. or Orange County?
The answer to that is complicated. Let me say that having been an almost 50-year listener to Pacifica, I am certainly not a corporatist, but it is obvious that a high-speed rail project can only be built by experienced international high-speed rail operators.
Well, how is it, this is Steve Zeltzer, how is it that China is able to build this massive rail system throughout their country? And it seems like in California, which it develops a lot of this technology, high technology, we can't get a train, bullet train from San Francisco to Los Angeles.
Well, China licensed a lot of technology from Europe. But it has not been flawless. They've had very serious problems. They've had tremendous corruption in terms of the construction of these viaducts, for example, which have fallen down. There's a great deal of trouble there, and I would foresee the same thing happening here.
Well, the corruption that we see as far as people making money off this project, and people in California, many of them are getting angrier and angrier when they hear that this agency, which is in charge of the development of this train, are giving out money to travel first class and all kinds of expenses that aren't really going for a lot of people, and for a lot of people that aren't going to the project, but something else.
We believe the High Speed Rail Authority has wasted hundreds of millions of dollars developing detailed plans for a project that cannot be built. And the test of that is the fact that they have not been able to secure any private investment, which had been an absolute cornerstone of their original planning. The fact that they haven't gotten any investment or willingness to invest is a direct indication that the commercial ventures see this project, as it's currently constituted, as a money loser. It's a dog.
Now, even though the project has been debated for some years, and in fact the bond measure and the ballot measure passed in 2008, there's still debate going on about exactly the route that the train should take. I guess most significantly, how should it pass through the Central Valley? Right now, I think the authority's plan is that it pass through the cities of the Central Valley, basically following Highway 99. California Rail Foundation says, no, it should pass through the valley to the west along I-5 and then shave, 60 miles or more off the route that way, thereby being faster. What are the trade-offs for the valley?
This is one of those classic situations where there are equities on both sides. The route that was chosen because of the idea that it would be helpful in bringing transit to the cities of the Central Valley. Unfortunately, there was a mistaken premise there, which is that a lot of these trains are going to be traveling at 200 miles an hour or faster, and you cannot move a train like that through a populated area. The noise impacts are simply too great. It's not done anywhere in the world. And so what that means is that the very concept is completely flawed. Cities in the Central Valley are now in revolt. They're very unhappy. The farmers whose fields would be taken are also unhappy. So as far as I know, nobody's happy out there.
And the peninsula, there have been a bunch of hearings about the bullet train going through the peninsula, and people are opposed to that as well. What are the concerns there?
The concern is that the authority's plan had been for a viaduct going all the way up and down the Caltrain line. The cities
an elevated structure.
Yes, the cities in the Central Peninsula have been in revolt and have teamed up with us and some of our other colleagues in suing the authority. We have twice challenged their environmental impact reports and had the courts order the authority to decertify and start again. We're about to do it a third time now because in their most recent hearing, one of the directors strongly hinted that the direction that they intended to take the final environmental impact report that is due out in a couple of weeks is not going to be satisfactory.
Well, there are bullet trains in Europe, in Spain, all over Europe. There are bullet trains in Japan that are quite safe. They haven't had any accidents, any deaths on, and there probably needs and should be mass transportation in a bullet train system in California and the United States. What kind of bullet train would the people on the peninsula want that would work properly for the people?
Well, it's not just what people on the peninsula want. It's what is intelligent. What would a rail operator do? And the answer to that is they would run the major north-south link between the north end and the southern end of the state on I-5 because the right-of-way already exists and the construction problems are very minimal and environmental problems are probably non-existent. And they would connect to the Bay Area over the Altamont Pass. Because it would generate a lot more ridership and be lower in cost and lower in environmental impacts. The problem is that the authority has done its decision making on a political rather than an economic basis. And as a result, every decision they've made, we disagree with. Literally every single one.
Well, what were the politics behind not doing it as you suggested and going another way on another route?
Well, I don't know about the politics about the Valley decision, but the authority was controlled by San Jose interests, and San Jose desperately wants to be the center of the universe. They suffer from profound San Francisco envy.
How does that play into the routing of the train?
Well, that's why they selected the Pacheco alternative, so that all trains would run through San Jose. As a result of our lawsuits, we were able to force them to show that there were very significant impacts that are caused by doing it that way. For example, in their first environmental impact report, they didn't actually have a right-of-way. They didn't have physical space to put the tracks because the Union Pacific Railroad had said, you can't use our right-of-way. And yet this bunch of incompetents designed their entire system based on using Union Pacific right-of-way. These people can't shoot straight, or maybe don't want to shoot straight. I frankly don't know. There are various cynical interpretations of what these guys are up to.
So, David, as we wrap up, we're speaking to David Schoenbrunn from the Transportation Advocacy Group, TransDef. As we wrap up today, do you see any positive signs, for example, in the apparent agreement now that the high-speed rail would be better integrated with the local rail services in the Bay Area and in Southern California?
It's the beginning of a change towards sanity, but it's too little and it's probably too late. The new chair of the authority has said he's committed to doing this Central Valley project, which is a disaster. It doesn't accomplish anything. It's in the wrong place, and it pisses off too many people.
Okay, David Schoenbrunn, thanks for joining us, and it's time to wrap up here.
Thank
David
you.
Schoenbrunn,
website?
Thanks for joining us on the Morning Mix.
The website?
Yes, the website?
Is TransDef, TransDef.org.
Okay, thanks for joining us on the Morning Mix. Tune for Democracy Now!